it will have reactions and responses from Israeli society itself, which will be further fragmented than it is right now.
Now, in order to make people return to the occupied lands, the Israeli regime has become desperate. Finance Minister Smotrich has announced 0% income tax for new immigrants. The tax benefit will be graduated with a zero tax rate in 2026 and 2027 under income in Israel, with the tax rate gradually increasing to 30% until 2030. The budget deficit in 2024 reached 6.9% of the GDP due to higher defense and civilian spending as a result of the war with the Hamas resistance group in Gaza that erupted in October 2023 and subsequent conflicts in Lebanon and Iran. It has since eased to 4.7% in September. A rock-bottom listing. Israel ranks last on Nation Brand Index, perceived as chaotic. The Nation Brand Index ranked Israel last among 50 countries, citing perceptions of chaos and instability. Despite a strong objective metrics, Global Views associate Israel with conflict and risk, highlighting a growing discontent with younger generations and economic challenges abroad. After the Gaza war began on October the 7th, 2023, the Israeli stock market and currency nosedived. It is estimated that Israel would lose around $400 billion in the next decade and experience a significant economic shock. Now let's bring back our guest, Frank Wright, writer, journalist, and geopolitical analyst. Frank, my question, the current and future footing indicates that Israel wants to continue its wars, like in the case of Lebanon, and then there was Iran. If this trend continues, what is the breaking point, or has Israel already reached that breaking point, not to mention violence in the occupied West Bank?
Well, yes, it will contribute to more people leaving. And one significant factor is that Western audiences are just beginning to realise that Israel is also war-fighting in the West Bank, which its government minister state is to be annexed completely. Earlier this year, the Catholic Church, along with other Christian churches in the Holy Land, protested that the last remaining Christian town in the West Bank was being violently terrorised by armed arsonist settlers backed by the Israeli army. The Holy Family Church was bombed again in Gaza several days later, which was seen as a retaliation for drawing the world's attention to the fact that Israel's violence is not only directed at Muslims, but at Christians too. This too in the birthplace of Christianity. The assault on the West Bank will only further mobilise world opinion against Israel. President Trump has said the West Bank will not be annexed. Then J.D. Vance, the vice president, has said that Knesset's motion to do so was foolish. Capital flight will likely increase too, following the divesting from Israel of the Norwegian Sovereign Wealth Fund and Danish and British divestment, which came in its wake. These conditions combine to a likely driver of further net emigration from Israel, again, likely comprising its youngest, brightest and best, leaving a country in which they see little future for themselves.
A remarkable wave of departure from Israel is not the Israelis' economy-only problem. There are so many. Until recently, Israel and the West sought to displace Gaza's residents. It's pretty ironic that now Israelis themselves are fleeing the occupied territories. How Israel can recuperate in its key sectors is anyone's guess. I'm Keresh Purnamati, and I'll see you next week.
Allah's love has no limits. Allah's love has no boundaries. For every raindrop that falls, for every ray of sunshine, for everything is under His control. You cannot see Allah, you cannot touch Allah, but you can feel Allah. He is there in every tear that falls, in every smile that shows. Allah is all around us. I am whatever I may be, but Allah has already planned my destiny.
Good night to all our listeners. You are tuned in to Iran Radio, broadcasting from Tehran. I'm your presenter for the next hour. Stay with us into the early hours of this morning. We start off this hour's lineup with Islamic laws. The program focuses on Islamic Sharia law and adopts a practical approach. After that, we have insights into the Holy Quran. The program presents a short exegesis and explanation of the ayahs of the Holy Quran. And our final program this hour is Leader's Speech. The program presents an English translation of a selection of the statements and speeches of the Honorable Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Stay with us for the next hour.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, my guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We have been talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei for quite a while now, and we'd like to continue along the same line. Let me ask you this question, or let me ask you about the general laws regarding mustahada. We know that there are different kinds of blood discharge, right?
Right.
From the women. My specific question is regarding the law concerning making wudu for these individuals, like women in mustahada. Well, especially as to whether they are offering obligatory prayers or recommended prayers.
Well, when it comes to obligatory and recommended prayers, both of them are prayers, and prayers, whether recommended or obligatory, require ritual purity.
Yes.
And ritual purity is obtained through wudu and through ghusl. And when it comes to a mustahaza, there are different types of istahaza.
Mm-hmm.
There are types,
right,
depending on the quantity of the blood discharge,
right,
depending on the quantity of the bloody emission.
Mm.
Okay, now if the emission of blood is very little, to the extent that only the blood stains the surface of the pad ladies wear. Okay, so it's called little istahaza or istahaza qalila.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the small istahaza.
Yes.
So for that, one wuzu must be performed for every single prayer. For every single prayer. For example, if a woman offers the dhuhr prayer, and then maybe she offers maybe a kind of ihtiyat prayer or a mustahab prayer or any other nazar prayer, okay, she must make one wuzu for each prayer, whether it's mustahab or wajib. Whether it's mustahab or wajib, One wuzu for each prayer when it comes to little istihaza.
Right.
And then...
And should it be differentiated from the menstrual blood?
Because, of course.
You know, how can it be differentiated? Like, this is little blood coming, like, at the beginning, for example, of the monthly cycle.
When the blood discharge is less than 3 days, the blood, and it's not continuous, it comes off and on. You know, it is called istihaza.
Right.
Because in order for a blood to be considered a monthly period or menstruation or haiz,
right,
it should, the blood should be there for at least 3 days, not less than 3 days, even by 1 hour. Mm. Okay. And of course, the minimum period of haiz is 3 days, and the maximum is 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
10 days.
Three,
okay. Maybe in a woman might see the blood cessation, or maybe she might see that, okay, the blood has stopped on the fourth day or the fifth day. Of course, then she must perform ghusl, and then, of course, do her wajibat. Mm-hmm. As long as she is in the state of haiz, she cannot perform prayer. Prayer is haram and forbidden. But we were talking about istihaza. Okay. The medium
istihaza. We were talking about the small istihaza. Now?
Okay, one prayer for each prayer.
Let me stop you there actually for a short break, and then we'll be dealing with, in fact, the different kinds of istihaza. We come back momentarily after a short break.
Followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/EM. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah. Guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad Hosseini's program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Javid, before the break, you were talking about the different kinds of or classes of istihada, right? You already talked about or covered the little or small istihada.
Yes, you're right. And then there is, of course, the medium istihaza. This is called istihaza mutawassita, okay? Again, wuzu is required. Wuzu must be done, but...
For every prayer
For every prayer.
Yes.
But then there is a ghusl which must be done, one in the morning and the other in the afternoon, right?
Right.
And that ghusl, you know, there is some kind of discrepancy. Some scholars, like, for example, Ayatollah Sistani, is of the view that, okay, the ghusl, whether it is mustahab or wajib,
yes,
is sufficient for wudu. But this is not the opinion of His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khomeini and many other scholars, okay? They are of the view that wuzu must be performed,
right,
and of course wuzu should be performed for istihaza, whether it is little, whether it is medium, or even excessive. But of course, ghusl is also necessary for the mutawassita istihaza, which is the medium. Because a medium, what is the definition of medium istihaza? The medium istihaza is a kind of blood discharge which allows the blood to penetrate the pad.
The sanitary pad.
Yes, of course. The pad, and it does not show itself from the other side of the pad. It gets into the pad, but it does not stain the other side, the outer part of the pad.
Mm-hmm.
So this is called
medium.
Medium istihaza. It penetrates, but right, it does not come out of the other side of the pad. Yes, mm-hmm. And pad. And then, just as I said, one ghusl in the morning and the other in the evening and the afternoon. Then we have the excessive istihaza. Excessive istihaza is when the blood emits and discharges excessively, and it comes out of the pad. it soaks the pad completely,
mm-hmm.
soaks the pad. And when the blood is excessive, of course, the woman should perform three ghusl, one in the morning, another in the for the noon and afternoon prayer, and another for the Maghrib and Isha prayer, which makes
what life. What about the wudu?
A wudu is also required.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. According to some scholars, including His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, wudu is required.
Yes.
But then the thing is that there are three ghusl that should be performed, and there should not be any gap mm-hmm. between the prayers. For example, if a woman wants to perform ghusl the noon and afternoon prayer, she should perform the two prayers immediately after another.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And if there is a gap between the two prayers, the woman should repeat the ghusl, because there is a gap. She did not offer the prayer immediately. She allowed, she delayed the afternoon prayer.
Mm-hmm.
For example, an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, okay? So she must perform another ghusl.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, before the break, when I asked you a question regarding the istihada, and you kindly provided the definition and different classification and typology of the istihada, you mentioned the difference or differentiated from the menstruation or menstrual blood.
Yes.
Different kinds of blood discharge, actually, right?
Right.
Well, and you mentioned that when women are in menstruation, they cannot offer any kind of prayer. But the question still remains here, and that is the question that I have, and I would like to ask you about that. If these women have, their menstrual cycle, can they touch the Quran too? They cannot offer the prayers.
Right.
But what about the Quran? Can they touch the Quran?
Touching the script of the Quran is forbidden. Even for someone who is not in the state of ritual purity, like he's not in the state of wudu, if someone wants to touch the God's names or the script of the Quran, it's not permissible.
But would it be male or female?
Male or female.
Yes.
When it comes to the state of haiz or the monthly discharge, of course, a woman cannot touch the scripts of the Quran. Okay.
Unless there is a gloves or something like, for example,
okay, that's not called touching then, because there should not be, if there is any barrier, uh-huh. okay, like for example, you carry the Quran, you hold the Quran,
right.
There's no problem. But it's still even makruh for a lady in her menses
right.
to carry the Quran and to touch the margin of the Quran and to carry and touch the margin, not the scripts, okay? Mm-hmm. The periphery of the Quran.
Right.
That is not, that's makruh, not haram.
It's makruh?
It's makruh to touch the margins.
Right.
Not the scripts of the Quran, otherwise the script is haram to touch.
What about these ladies in their menses? Are they allowed actually to enter the mosque?
It's not permissible for ladies to enter the mosque. Okay, to enter the mosque, if it is mosque, okay? But, okay, it depends on what mosque our lady might want to. Okay, it's not permissible to enter, for a woman to enter the mosque of the Prophet, Masjid al-Nabi, and also to enter Masjid al-Haram, okay?
Right.
It's not permissible. Uh-huh. But for the local mosque, like, for example, if a woman wants to enter, she can enter, but she should not pause there. She should not stay there. And she should not leave or pick anything from the mosque. And but if she enters, she may enter from one door and exit quickly from the other door.
Does the same rule apply to men in Janab in the state of
Janab? Yeah, of course, the same rule applies to men in the state of Janab. The same rule applies.
Yeah, they cannot enter the mosque unless they're not pausing there, right?
Yes.
They are going from one gate and out the other.
Yes, of course.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Chobit, and I would really appreciate your presence here and shedding light on some of the questions that I ask you usually in this program regarding the jurisprudence or Islamic jurisprudence based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to us and joining your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. From me, Muhammad Javad, the host of this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, and the rest of the crew, we bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran.
Thank you. insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you, and in this edition of the program, we'll have a look at the contents of Surah Al-Ankabut, or Chapter Spider, the 29th chapter of the Holy Quran. Dear brothers and sisters, let's listen to the 34th and 5th verses of Surah Ankabut, and we shall discuss them later on.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
إنا منزلون على أهل هذه القرية رجزا من السماء بما كانوا يفسقون
Indeed, we will bring down on the people of this city punishment from the sky because they have been defiantly disobedient.
وَلَقَدْ تَرَكْنَا مِنْهَا آيَةً بَيِّنَةً لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ
And we have certainly left of it a sign as clear evidence for a people who use reason.
So, after you listen to these two verses, and you were with us with the story of Prophet Lut and his people and those guests that they were actually the messenger angels from the Almighty Allah, in order that the fate of this polluted group of people might be made more clear in their mission, the Quran adds in this verse, إِنَّا مُنزِلُونَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ رِجْزًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ You know what the punishment of these people shall be? Inna munziluna ala ahli hadhihi al-qaryah. Verily we are bringing down upon the people of this town rijzan min as-sama, a punishment from the heaven. Bima kanu yafsuqun, for what they were transgressing. And then it says wa laqad tarakna minha ayatan bayyinatan liqaumin yaqilun. And certainly we have left a clear sign of it for a people who have sense, which we will shortly refer to. Anyway, what we understand from these verses altogether is that the repetition of sin and persisting to its doing caused the descent of chastisement of Allah. And the acquaintance with the philosophy of history and being acquainted with past generations are regarded by the Quran. And that's why it says, وَلَقَدْ تَرَكْنَا مِنْهَا آيَةً بَيِّنَةً Out of all these ups and downs, what you should get is those clear signs. Anyway, قرية or town, إِنَّا مُنزِلُونَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ is the قرية of Sodom, the cities and towns around it, of course, and the people of Lut were the ones who were who used to live in it. The population of them has been mentioned about 700,000 people. And that's not actually small number. Anyway, the objective of the Arabic term rijz is punishment here. Its original meaning is anxiety. Rijz means anxiety. Then everything that causes anxiety is also called rijz. And that's why Arabs use it in a lot of senses, like harsh afflictions, plague, intensive snow and hail, even the temptation of Satan and divine punishment. Also, the Quranic sentence, بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ for what they were transgressing states the cause of their painful punishment, that was transgression and disobedience from the command of Allah. And its application in future form of the verb is an indication to the continuation of their ugly deeds. That's an important point that we also need to notice. And this meaning actually shows this fact, that if those people stop the continuation of it, and if they return to the path of righteousness, path of piety and purity, they would not be involved in such a punishment, and their past sins would have been forgiven. Brothers and sisters, these messengers, angel messengers of the Almighty Allah, they said that inna muhliku ahli hadhihi al-qarya. They also said inna munziluna ala ahli hadhihi al-qarya rijzan min as-sama. They said that we are bringing down for sure upon the people of this town a punishment from heaven. Now, in this verse, the manner of their painful punishment has not been explained, and it only refers to the ruins of their afflicted and non-afflicted cities. And it says, وَلَقَدْ تَرَكْنَا مِنْهَا آيَةً بَيِّنَةً لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. And certainly, we have left a clear sign of this for a people who have sense. But the explanation of their punishment is referred to in other verses of the Holy Quran, like chapter Hud, in different verses, implying that at first a kind of severe earthquake turned their cities upside down, and then a shower of stone rained on them in a way that their bodies and their ruined cities and castles were buried under it. Also, one noteworthy point is the application of the Quranic phrase ayatan bayyinah, a clear sign. This could refer to the remaining of the city of Sodom, which, according to the verses of Quran, was located alongside the way of the caravans of the people of Medina and Mecca, and they could see it at the advent of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the Prophet of Islam, as Surah Hijr mentions. It is on a way yet remaining. And of course, there's also the mention of it in Surah Safat, where it says, verily you pass by their cities day by day, and by night will you not ponder. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode as well. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until the next program, take care.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
This is part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a televised address to the Iranian people on September 23, 2025. We run most of our power plants on gasoline and natural gas. This not only incurs high costs, but also pollutes the environment and the air. However, the electricity generated from enriched uranium and nuclear power plants produces zero pollution, costs significantly less, has a much longer operational life, and offers many other advantages that, as I mentioned, this is something that experts in the field should explain in more detail for the public. If we were to list the various uses of enriched uranium, it would make a long list. We didn't previously have this very important technology. We weren't capable of enrichment, and our enemies were unwilling to give it to us. No one else was willing to give it to us either. Over 30 years ago, a few determined managers and a few responsible, distinguished scientists, they were truly like this, started working on the issue of uranium enrichment and brought it to the point where it is today. Today, we are at an advanced level in terms of uranium enrichment. Of course, countries seeking to build nuclear weapons even increase enrichment up to 90% purity. Since we have no need for such weapons and we have no intention of building them, we haven't increased enrichment to that level. We have increased enrichment to 60%, which is a very high, excellent figure. And this is something that is necessary for some of the work that needs to be done in our country. We've been able to advance enrichment to this point, and we are now one of 10 countries in the world with this capability. I can tell you that out of the over 200 countries in the world, only 10 are capable of enrichment, and the Islamic Republic of Iran is one of them. The other 9 countries have nuclear bombs too, of course. We're the only one that doesn't have a nuclear bomb, and we won't have one. We have no intention of using nuclear weapons, but we do have enrichment. We are considered to be one of the 10 countries in this advanced industry. The scientists I mentioned laid the foundation for this work and made significant progress. But their most important contribution was training numerous individuals in this field. Today, according to a solid, reliable report given to us by those involved in this field, there are tens of distinguished scientists and professors, hundreds of students, and thousands of people who've been trained in the nuclear sciences, working in various nuclear-related fields.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. Gave me hope, oh Allah, I want to thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Good night to all our listeners. You are tuned into Iran Radio, broadcasting from Tehran. I'm your presenter for the next hour. And here are some interesting facts about the Holy Quran I invite you to listen to. Surah Yasin is considered the heart of the Quran for its tremendous benefits for the believer. The best drink according to Quran is milk. In the Quran, Allah also describes the rivers of milk in the heaven. The best food according to Quran is honey, which cures several problems and is the sweetest gift to humans from Allah. Normally, the Quran declares Friday as the most blessed day of the week. The month of Ramadan is the best month of the year, and the night of Qadr has been described as a night better than 1,000 months. Its significance is described in Surah Al-Qadr. We start this hour's lineup with our varied radio productions feature. Then we have today's special daily mixed format program that deals with various Islamic and Iranian occasions. And our final program this hour will be our radio productions feature. Stay with us for the next hour.
Our researchers' work quietly shapes the future of how machines see and understand the world. They bridge the gap between abstract algorithms and real-world applications, pushing boundaries in fields like deep learning, computer vision, and intelligent document processing. My guest today is one such innovator, an academic and practitioner whose contributions span both cutting-edge research and impactful industry collaborations. With a passion for pattern recognition and a commitment to advancing AI education, he continues to inspire the next generation of scientists and engineers. Welcome to SORP. I am Bahman Ray.
Yusri Kesentini is an associate professor at the Digital Research Center of Sfax in Tunisia, where he leads the Deep Vision research team. With a PhD in pattern recognition from the University of Rouen, France, and an engineering degree from the National Engineering School of Sfax, his work centers on deep learning, computer vision, and document image processing. He has authored over 60 publications and actively collaborates with industry on technology transfer projects.
Dr. Yusri Kesentini, very good to have you on this program.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm honored to be with you today. Thank you.
It's a great pleasure, actually, to have you here in Iran as well. You're here for the sixth edition of the Mustafa Prize.
Yes, I'm invited for the ceremony, and it is the first time that I visit Iran, and I'm very happy to visit this nice country.
It is indeed pleasant for us as well, and I hope you enjoy your stay, the rest of it, as many days as you are going to be here. And I hope you come back so that you can travel also.
Sure.
Very good. Dr. Kesentini, what first sparked your interest in technology and artificial intelligence?
Yeah, I think it is my first experience in artificial intelligence, what it was in my end of study, engineering study, in this period, I worked in the preservation of historical documents. I work in Flaubert draft. I don't know if you know Flaubert. Flaubert is a writer.
It's Gustave Flaubert.
Yes. It's Madame Bovary.
Yeah, very famous.
So I have worked in the preservation of the draft that write Flaubert for Madame Bovary.
The manuscripts.
Yes, the okay. manuscripts. And I find this experience very, very interesting. So here we see how artificial intelligence can help historian to preserve these documents, to preserve our history, to get more accessible to our citizens, these kind of documents that are very, very in their paper version are very sensible.
How did you develop the project later on? Do you still work with the project or is it done?
After my PhD?
Yes.
No. Until now, in the Digital Resource Center, we continue to work on document images. Uh-huh. This is a part of our works in my research team, in the division research team. And we work on other kind of document, like document enhancement, for example, using generative artificial intelligence. If the document is degraded, is the poor quality, if there is some noise, some watermark in the documents, how we can remove this noise before transcribing the document. Because if we work directly in the transcription of this kind of documents, right. of degraded documents, we don't get a good quality. Of OCR quality. So the idea is to propose some tools, some artificial intelligence tools to improve the quality of documents, what we call document enhancement, and after that we can apply the transcription tools to get the text.
And how expandable this is to more languages? For example, if they want to apply the same thing to Farsi, or to some other language, Thai, Chinese, how is that possible?
Generally, no, we work with machine learning techniques, so it is mainly deep learning techniques. So it is the same model architecture that we can train on different language. So sometimes there is some adaptation to deal with one language to others, because for example for Arabic we have some diacritics, the alphabet is of a bigger size than Latin, but the main architecture is mainly the same. So there is some extra processing, some adaptation for multi-script recognition.
Right, very good. And what were the biggest challenges that you faced during this research?
In a document, yeah. You mean? There is many, many challenges. Degraded document is a challenge. Also, in another project, we work on ciphers documents. In ciphers documents, it means that the kind of documents that were used in the 13th century for secret religious and political exchange of documents. And in ciphers, the characters are scripted. The text is scripted. So here, it is another difficulty because we don't have many labeled data. We don't know what kind of alphabet it's used. The symbols, we don't have any idea. So this was a challenging project that we have dealing in collaboration with the Computer Vision Center of Barcelona in Spain. And here we have proposed many techniques like few short learning to deal with this problem, domain adaptation, that is techniques to deal with the data scarcity for training mainly.
Right, and I want to connect the dots here. How did you continue what you learned in your project, in your doctoral studies, into what you're doing right now?
Yeah, the models, the machine learning models, is completely different because in my PhD we don't have deep learning when I conduct my PhD. So I, for example, in my PhD we have used Markov chain, the Markov models. It's a kind of machine learning models. In this epoch, it was the state of the art models to transcribe text. Now it is different with the arrival of deep learning. It is different because before, with hidden Markov models, we need to work on the future extraction step with what we use handcrafted futures. It is generally we need many months to develop some futures to put them as input to the model. Now with deep learning is more easy because deep learning can learn automatically these kind of futures. We don't have to work with handcrafted futures. So it's different, but it's the main idea because you use machine learning. We need to data to train the models. This is common between the two approaches, but there is some difference. For example,
focused on pattern recognition. Very good. And tell me something about. Can you describe the transition from being a student to becoming a faculty member and researcher?
Yeah, it's very different because when we are a researcher, an associate professor, I start to build my team, my research team, when I come back to Tunisia. So we start with few members. It is PhD students, so we need to learn them how doing research. So what I have learning from my experience, I need to give them to my students. And after the team is bigger, so we have many members, researcher in the team. We have many projects, mainly with industry, with international partners. So we, in this stage, I must to learn how to deal with a project, how to collaborate with partners, how to give the works to my students, the work plane. So it is different.
Right, and I'm going to talk about the creation of the Deep Vision research team at CRNS. Mm-hmm. How did you come up with that?
Yeah, it's because when I come back in Tunisia, our research center is new. So I was from the first researcher that integrate the research center. And in this case, when you come back to your country, you have two choices: integrate an existing team or build your own team. So I
Indeed.
Choose the second solution, which is more difficult, but there are many challenges with this solution. I choose to build my team, to work on my favorite research field. So this is a choice.
And are you satisfied with the results?
Yeah.
Very good. And tell me, how has your research focus shifted over the years with the rise of deep learning?
Yeah. With deep learning, as I said, there are many pre-processing steps that are removed, mainly for future extraction. Pre-processing, we don't have many pre-processing like... contrary to when we work with traditional machine learning. In counterpart, we need a huge quantity of computing resource. You need GPU because deep learning, we need also a huge quantity of data for training. And we need to learn. Because deep learning is a domain, a research domain that is, there is a big, big community in the world that work in this domain. And there is